Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, look, I feel like I've been talking about it for a couple weeks now, about just how slow and really boring this precious metals market is, whether you look at the price moves in the metals or the price moves in the stocks. Stocks are actually even a bit more, I think, disappointing than what's going on with metals prices, but still, overall, lower volume, less interest in the sector. What are you seeing in terms of, let's start with investment demand? You track a lot on the options market as well as the physical market. What have you seen in terms of demand changes recently?
We're seeing lower demand, and you're seeing some liquidation of markets. I mean, you know, I think in June you had about 340,000 ounces of ETF liquidations, and that was on top of more than 6 million ounces earlier in the year. So you're seeing some liquidation. And I think part of it's what we call stale bull. You know, people who saw the gold price rise to a record level last August, they saw silver prices rise very sharply last August. They got very bullish, and, you know, 11 months down the road, the prices are down from where they were at the beginning of the year. And I think there's some disenchantment. So I think you're seeing some investors get away. And that's true not only in the metals and the physical metals, but I think it's also being manifested in the equities. You know, that there are a lot of people who feel that they were overly bullish, and it just hasn't happened. The world hasn't fallen apart. You know, c'est la vie.
Isn't that the story of the precious metals market, though, Jeff? We constantly hear from the gold bugs saying the markets are going to crash, the economy's in a lot of trouble, and that's going to force people into gold. And hey, think of all the debt. Debt keeps on expanding. We've heard that narrative for a long period of time, and it absolutely draws some investors in, but then investors, I don't know, they get bored, kind of as you're saying, or what plays out doesn't actually happen in their eyes. On the flip side of that, though, there are some usual, pretty typical drivers for the precious metals. I've talked about it for the last couple of weeks, and that is, again, higher inflation, lower interest rates. We have that scenario right now, but it's not driving gold. Does it just circle back around to investors being distracted elsewhere?
Well, I think it's a couple things. One is, you know, first off, gold prices really are still pretty high. You know, they're down from their peak a year ago, but, you know, at $1,820 as we're speaking, gold is still a pretty high level. I do think that there is a greater deal of circumspection on the part of investors, partly because, you know, monetary authorities and the Treasury and a lot of intelligent economists have been saying, look, you know, it makes sense that you'd see higher inflation because of the supply disruptions, the supply chain problems. We're coming out of a deep recession last year. The pandemic has been a problem. You've got higher numbers just because of the base. And you know, just hang in there because 2022 will probably see lower inflation. And I think the experience in the lumber market, you know, I looked at the lumber market earlier this week, and lumber prices are off 0.6% from where they were at the beginning of the year. This is 3 months after people were like waving their arms on television saying, oh my God, look at lumber prices. They're at, you know, phenomenal, astronomical levels. No one can afford to build anything anymore. And you know, 3 months later, okay, the supply disruptions are behind us, and lumber prices have come down to, you know, levels that we haven't seen since last year. So I think there are a lot of investors who are being very circumspect about inflation. And then, you know, I think you said it at the beginning of your comment there, you know, there are any number of investors who have been sold a bill of goods about precious metals. Oh, you know, the world's going to collapse, and inflation is going to be hyperinflation, and gold's going to $22,000 an ounce. And I think there are any number of investors who bought that thesis, and now they're saying, oh, gee, I've been had again. And there are also a lot of stockbrokers who are saying, hey, you know, you really were all in silver in February and all in gold in April. How much have you lost now? Yeah. So meanwhile, the stock market is doing relatively well. And yeah, there's a lot of dangers in the stock market, but they're not real dangers like you've experienced over the last 3 months in gold and silver. So I think that there's a lot of disenchantment on the part of investors on the part of gold toward gold and silver. And, you know, frankly, some of that disenchantment is rooted in the overly bullish persistently. I mean, it's not over the last year. It's over the last 40 years. It's persistent drumbeat about how gold's going to $10,000 or $20,000 and silver's going to $1,500 or $100, you know. And I think there are any number of investors who say, you know, I just don't want to be involved in a market that's the strain of thinking.
Yeah, fair enough. But that is consistent for the precious metals market. We've heard that kind of thinking for, I believe, centuries in this market, or at least decades in this market. Jeff, when it comes to that overall narrative, though, around precious metals and the precious metals price, yes, fine, it is still at a good level. 1800 for gold historically is a very high level, but it's all about perceived future direction. And gold has been in, coming on now, almost a full year correction. How worried do we have to be that this bull market, the long-term bull market that you can argue really got going in 2018, but could have even started back at the beginning of 2016 when that low at 1045 was put in, how worried do we have to be that this bull market is over, or at least rolling over?
I guess there are reasons to be concerned, but the way I look at it is this, a little bit different. You know, back in 2016, 2017, even before that, like back in 2011, 2012, CPM Group was saying, hey, you know, precious metals, commodity prices are going to come off for 3 to 5 years, and then we're going to enter another longer-term leg up. And that's been happening since 2011, 2012, pretty much like clockwork. And part of our projections were that we would see a relatively strong 2019. We didn't anticipate the pandemic and lockdown, but we thought that prices would be relatively strong in 2020. But then we were saying we thought that 2021, 2022 could see a pause in the increase in precious metals before another upward move as those economic problems become more problematic. So from our perspective, you know, we're flying a plane. We have a flight plan. And we're exactly where we thought we would be. Yeah, you know, we're seeing prices come off, prices sort of stabilize, consolidate at higher levels than historic norms, and the economic storm clouds are still off in the future. So from our perspective, this is what we thought we'd see in the second half of 2021 and through much of 2022, and so we're not particularly scared. But I can see that other people who had this, you know, all in black and white view of the world's going to collapse and gold's going to 10,000, they might say, oh, gee, you know, it's not there yet. And, you know, for example, in silver, you've had any number of people who were saying, oh, silver's going to be $100 by April. Well, no, May. Well, no, July, you know. And in fact, it hasn't really gotten over $30 since last August, so there are any number of investors who are saying, you know, gee, it's just not happening. And, you know, our job with our clients is to say, this is what we thought. Hang in there. This is actually a good time to be buying because the prices are softening. Frankly, July may not be the best time, but let's see what happens in August. August is the low period for seasonality and prices for silver. October is for platinum and palladium. Gold is July. This is possibly a good time if you're a long-term investor to be buying. And you're seeing that actually with the central banks. Central banks, which pulled back sharply last year because the price was rising, have actually picked up their buying this year because the price has stopped. It's not that it's fallen so much as it's stopped rising.
Well, and that's the key thing, right? We keep on circling back around to it, but look, investors want returns now. Very few investors have a long, long-term outlook that we keep on hearing from the metal sector saying you need to buy and hold when, quite frankly, investors right now want to buy, see a gain, and then flip it, rotate it into something else. Jeff, what about the weakness in the underlying gold stocks, too? Because I hear from so many people saying, look, these majors are producing some great financial results. They're making great money, even at current metals prices. And investors need to notice that they're increasing dividends, that they are building up nice cash positions. But investors don't seem to care. Is that, again, just a function of the underlying price not going anywhere? Or is this a bigger picture thing towards some of the larger stocks, too?
I think it's those two things and other things, too. I mean, yeah, partly, you know, the reality is that precious metal mining companies historically have done best when the prices are rising, because that sort of saves them from past sins of overspending and bad management and things like that. So I think that, you know, there is a little bit of that going on. And people are saying, well, you know, I'll be interested in these equities when the underlying metal prices start rising again. But there's another thing going on, and this is something that we've written about for several years. You know, if you look at it, there's this migration of investable funds away from investing in individual companies and investing in indexed, you know, stock indices and stock ETFs that are based on indices in different markets and things like that. And so you're in the middle of a major transformation in what the equity markets are in terms of capital formation and capital markets. And it's a problem not only for gold mining and silver mining, but it's a problem for all kinds of industries where you have traditionally smaller cap companies that need capital to grow, and they turn to the stock market in the past to get that capital. But now the stock market is saying, I don't want to invest in those individual companies. I want to invest in ETFs and indexed funds. So, you know, you're finding that problem is draining and distracting a lot of money. Obviously, the large institutional money that's managed that way, but also increasingly smaller investors and individual investors are saying, look at the returns that these fund management companies are racking up with their indexed and ETF investments. And I'm killing myself trying to pick this stock over that stock. I'm just going to give them my money to manage. So, you know, as someone at Goldman Sachs said to me years ago, we are managing an ever increasing portion of our clients' wallet. And so, you know, you've got a major problem in terms of capital formation and capital raising for mining companies. And even the largest gold mining companies are small cap compared to what, you know, the largest asset management companies are looking at now. And that's been true. That was true 20 years ago, and it's true. It's true today.
That also ties in a way to the narrative of how undervalued commodities are, or real assets are, based against financial assets. Again, this is something we've been talking about for years and even a decade now, at least, that financial assets are making a run and commodities, hard assets, are lagging. Is that just the bigger story here? And is that a trend that might not change for a long period of time?
Yeah, that's the bigger story, and it may not change for a long period of time. And it's probably going to end badly for the world economy, you know, because, yeah, what you're finding is that increasingly investors are not interested in investing in companies that are going to grow and make money. They're interested in a much more casino-like stock market where they're in and out and they're playing. And, you know, oh, if I play red instead of red 22, I have an increased chance of earning a win, even if it's a smaller win. So you're seeing a divorcing from the equity markets, from the real economy, and that spells big problems for capital formation and thus for real economic growth. And that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. And, you know, economists keep wondering how it's going to end.
They do. And that's what we keep on talking about, right? There is a big disconnect here, but boy, oh boy, it seems like liquidity, when it's released, goes into these markets in one form or another. Big picture here, Jeff, what are you going to be watching through, let's say, the rest of this year as a barometer for where especially precious metals and the underlying stocks are going to move?
Well, the first thing we're going to be watching is the treasury equity markets. And we're actually doing a series of comments on various aspects of the treasury market that I think are misunderstood for our clients and for others. But I think, you know, treasury interest rates are going to be very important. The dollar and the dollar, not so much on an index basis, but against major currencies like the euro and the pound and the yen will be, you know, very important for us. We're going to watch inflation, and we're watching the components of inflation. You know, we saw very high numbers for June come out. And when you disaggregate it, you know, it's 45% increase in oil and oil products. There's a 45% in used cars. There's a 9% increase in food bought in restaurants. But food bought for home consumption was up 0.9, which is high, but it's not devastating. And it's one-tenth of what the restaurants were doing to their prices as they tried to rebuild, having been shut down for 10, 12, 15 months, you know. So we're going to be watching the inflation to see the extent to which the current higher inflation is transitory and the extent to which some of these things are not transitory. So, you know, with and then there's a political component there that factors in. And just one small part of the political component is, you know, you've seen this continued belligerence toward China and really toward other countries, too, by the Biden administration, continuing what Trump started with tariffs against Canada and Mexico and China and the EU and Poland and everybody else imaginable. And we're not seeing those inflationary tariffs reduced. And we're not seeing that global belligerence reduced either. So that is a more permanent inflationary factor that we're paying attention to. And then, of course, the fundamentals. As I said, you know, central banks have picked up more. They're buying more central banks are buying more gold now than the gold industry thought would be likely 8 months ago. And so we're going to be watching central bank trends. We're going to be watching the liquidity in the core markets because that's been changing both in terms of contracting depth and contracting breadth of it. We're going to be watching the spreads in gold and silver. We're interested in PGMs. We just came out with our Platinum Group Metal Yearbook this week, talking about the prospects for it. And quite frankly, you know, platinum and palladium have outperformed gold and silver in the first 6-7 months of this year. And that actually warrants an examination, because that may be a shape of things to come next year.
So, Jeff, let me just circle around to one of those comments that central banks, they're starting to buy more gold. We're not seeing that move the market. Who moves the market for the precious metals then? If central banks are buying and that's not moving the market higher, what will move the market higher?
Central banks, generally speaking, are value investors, and private investors tend to chase the price higher. So the private investors will buy more gold than central banks. So, you know, if you go back last year, some, you know, private investors bought like 40 million ounces, which was more than twice as much as they had bought in 2019. Central banks bought about 7 or 8 million ounces, which was maybe half of what they had bought in 2019. Central banks are value investors. They're buying more this year because the price is weaker than it was in the middle of last year, when they pulled back from buying. But the real market mover and the thing to watch is that investment demand. And as you said, you know, we pay a lot of attention looking at all kinds of aspects of gold and silver and platinum and palladium investment demand, because those investors come in very chunky, and they're the ones that move the price higher by buying and move the price lower by either not buying in the case of gold or outright selling in the case of silver.
All right, Jeff. Good comments as always. It's an interesting market right now. Unfortunately, very slow for the precious metals and the precious metals stocks. who knows what's exactly going to turn that market and bring some more investors in. But right now, there's no doubt that we are in the middle of summer doldrums trading. How long this is going to last, we don't know. Or maybe there's already been a bottom, short-term bottom at least put in place here. But I don't know, the action today is also a little bit of a bad finish to the week for the precious metals. Jeff, always great having you on the show, buddy. We'll chat again soon. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Stay cool.